This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
I curated a group show and I presented an idea for an artwork. And then, you know, we were hanging out and I just said, you know, scratch that idea. What I want to do is present a piece. The piece is entitled Monument and there will be nothing. And that was he accepted my monument,
right?
And exhibited it as part of this group exhibition at Carhole Gallery.
Okay, now so just talk to us. What did that look like? So you went into the space. There were other people's works there, and then what was there? Just a label on the wall, or how did it pan out?
There was nothing. He made the piece in a sense because he wrote a redacted essay about it that mm-hmm. and found an image and you know found a way to represent the piece.
Mm-hmm. So now, any other further explanation for the obsession with monument? Is it because it's hard to see things big now because there's so much information? Or, I mean, I like this idea, but I just want to know a little bit more about it.
Maybe the other thing is I spent the past 3 years, my studio practice has been remodeling this building that mm-hmm. I live in with my partner, and I think that sort of construction vernacular yeah. heavily influenced this idea of building, of monuments, uh-huh. of edifice, of, you know...
Mural.
Mm-hmm, all of these things. So that right. really became this really physical labor of doing demolition work, of painting walls, painting ceilings, carrying garbage, and just this romance with built materials, with wood, and with all of these, you know, sort of materials that are intrinsic to art making, but they were being used in a different way.
Right.
In a very pragmatic way.
All right. And, you know, and this also does touch upon how a lot of people maybe first came across you here in Portland, which was Ace Hotel, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to get to that.
Okay.
But let's just get back to this exhibition at 1430.
Okay.
So we walk inside. And I sort of did a little sketch for myself here.
It's a good sketch.
It's a good sketch, right? And what we're seeing within the rectangle is a triangle in one corner, which is actually black in real life. Mm-hmm. And then we're seeing this shape of kind of a rectangular shape that's on the wall, mm-hmm. but it's rounded on one edge, right?
It's, mm-hmm. not it's a wheelbarrow.
It's a wheelbarrow, okay. Yeah. Really glossy looking wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. And then on one side, we're also seeing like a wall, like a mm-hmm. brick wall. Let's just maybe start with this wall, concrete masonry units.
Yeah.
And the name of the, and it's looking, would you describe it for me, please?
It's a portrait of Thomas. So it's cinder blocks, CMU blocks. Uh-huh. Just balanced on top of one another. There's a felt detail at the bottom and the top to finish the piece. That's the same value as the bricks. And then it's his exact wingspan, which was 64 inches, and his exact height, which is 64 inches.
Really?
I had intended to make a painting of him, and I had him lay on a canvas, and I traced him, and like I became fascinated with his proportions. But the painting became, you know, I'm not a painter. So
tough to do too. If you're not a painter,
it was too foreign for me. So this felt right. This unit that these blocks come in, this 8-inch, 6x8x16 or 8x8x16, uh-huh. it felt right. It was this discovery that I made. I'd also been looking a lot at, you know, Anne Truitt's monoliths and wanting mm-hmm. to do something that had to do with, you know, her work. A lot of these works are riffs on canonized, uh-huh. you know, minimalist artworks.
Right. But unpainted in this, I mean, she kind of did these big color blocks, right?
Yes.
Yes.
She did sort of, I would call them totems or uh-huh. columns, but yes, this is unpainted, just sort of.
Right. And so is this also any comment on your relationship with him? I mean, is he the wall? Is he the anchor? Is he the, this talk, can
I'll
you reveal?
I think there's a lot of meanings there, and I think I'll let you decide if right. you want to be an optimist or a pessimist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I mean, because in one way, it's not emotional at all. But on the other hand, it's kind of opens the door just by its name for all kinds of different associations or...
Right. And I've installed it in the gallery, you know, opposing my self-portrait.
Opposing, right.
Which is the 165 pounds of black sugar.
Untitled self-portrait, black sugar. Where did you get that?
You know, the internet is an amazing source of materials.
Yeah, yes. Why were you sugar? Why were you, what made you kind of go in that direction and be the sugar?
I've always admired Felix Gonzalez Torres's work. So this portrait was referencing his portraits, which were piles of candy. So I had played with a number of, you know, so his piles of candy represented an ideal weight of a friend who was diagnosed with AIDS. And then over the course of the exhibition, visitors would take the candy to represent the body wasting away.
Whoa.
Right. Uh-huh. So this sugar is kind of, I don't want to say satirical because I don't want to undermine the weight of his works. I think there's a lot of weight to this, but I'm obsessed with idolizing my own form, with gaining muscle, with gaining weight, improving my body as
really?
I get older.
Okay.
So my ideal weight of 165s is this weight that I'm trying to gain, and the sugar is this substance that I'm not consuming.
All right, so I just want to hand the show over to Justin and Conch right now because we are in membership pledge drive.
We are.
Yes.
Carry on, Conch.
Yes, thank you, Need. We are once again asking you to call 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. If you are an art focus listener, if you are listening to the cultural and literary and arts programming that only KBOO brings you, if you are somebody who's been turned on to a gallery show, who's been turned on to a lecture, who's been turned on to an appearance, a performance here in the Portland area, up and down the Willamette Valley, maybe in Southwest Washington, Clark County, this is your time to say, you know, this was brought to me and to everybody around me by KBOO, and to call 877-500-KBOO. You know, Justin, Mother's Day is coming up. I know that my mom is actually a member of KBOO, and she lives out in the Chicago area. So I can't get a gift membership to her, but maybe somebody else out there would like to give a gift membership to their mom. I know a lot of people who think their mom is the bee's knees, and maybe are there any copies of Cheryl Strayed's book Wild left? I mean, that would make a great gift.
I will have to double check that because we had some copies that were autographed.
If not, take mom out to see single-handedly the New Works Solo Festival here in town, Portland Story Theater at the Hip Bone Studio. There's a pair of single tickets available and a pair of festival passes at 877-500-KBOO.
The question is, dear listener, are you going to value programming that is not determined by corporate interests and that is rather determined by needs in the community, that is made by members of your community and that is going out to you, to your friends, to your family, to your colleagues, and indeed to people you don't even know? We're asking you to engage in a little high stage behavior. Stage three is when you do the right thing because it's the right thing, and the right thing to do right now is to say thank you to our arts and culture programmers for making this labor of love go on and on for over 23 million commercial free minutes. Call right now, 877-500-5266. You can do that online at kboo.fm, or you can come on down in person, say hello to D-May and to Ava and to all of the people who are making this possible. In fact, you don't even need to come down. You get your hello from D-May right now. 877-500-5266. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're asking you to put a small price on it. A few of your hard-won pennies, nickels, and dimes is all it takes. Imagine that 10% of our listeners are paying 90% of the bill. You, dear listener, can change that metric and walk a little taller, whiten teeth, freshen breath, and shed away pounds by starting your membership right now, toll-free, 877-500-5266.
Hi, you're listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and I have with me today Philip Ioska. He's got an exhibition that we've been talking about, Moment Monument, at 1430 Contemporary. And the gallery, by the way, is at 1501 Southwest Market, and the exhibition closes April 14th, right?
That's right.
So we still have a little bit of time to check out this exhibition. And so in this room, I believe there's one more piece before we get to go around. The gallery has got like two rooms, actually, where there's work installed. Mm-hmm. What's on the wall? It's a barrow.
It's a barrow.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, coming from this construction vernacular, mm-hmm. I took this ready-made form of this wheelbarrow, just using, without the wheels, it's just the barrow. And I was obsessed with giving it a mirror finish. So I had tried to make this piece years before, and I couldn't find a shop that could chrome it. You know, I called all over the state. I called other states trying to find a shop that could chrome this thing to give it this mirror finish. Uh-huh. I was thinking of like Anish Kapoor and his wall-mounted sculptures and just wanting to have that sensation, but with this sort of ready-made minimalist object. So I was reading the paper, and there was an article about a company in Newburgh that did the football helmets for
Oregon State.
Yes.
Yes.
And they had a they had this proprietary process, which is called Hydrochrome. And so I contacted them. You know, I met with Janine when she invited me to do the show. I told her about a couple of pieces. She was interested in the barrow. And so I contacted them, and they were willing to do this funny project. So I don't know much about the process, except that, you know, they wouldn't show me their workshop, but they can do a soft or a hard object. And they had to take this thing, they had to dip it, and then they had to spin it at a really fast pace, fast speed, to dry it.
Right.
So it's a water transfer printing technique called Hydrochrome, and it has a precious metal coating of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do we want a wheelbarrow that is something you can see yourself in?
I'd done this this sort of earlier piece that's gotten a second life of this hot pink crowbar, this hot pink wrecking bar, and I like
this was in New York. Yes,
it was originally in the show that you curated me in at Chambers.
At Chambers, but didn't it have another life in New
York? And then recently, there was a shop in New York called Journal Store that was curating all pink objects. They're changing the color each month, so some friends recommended that I get in touch with them, so they started carrying it.
And then you had a little bit of riff off of it.
Yeah, so then it was in New York Magazine, and it's in Paper Magazine in the Booty Call this month.
So nice.
That's great. So this object, you know, I don't want to be a one-trick pony. Maybe I'm a one-trick pony, but this sort of barrow was a similar, taking this masculine to take a tool and sort of shift it by changing the material.
Right. So,
and it has, you know, it has kind of a, I was looking up barrow, and a barrow is a funeral mound. So it has this relationship to the self-portrait of this 165 pounds of black sugar, this sort of this volume that the void implies. And then, you know, as a funeral mound, barrows were mounds of earth or stone that were over where, you know, people had been buried.
Mm-hmm.
So it has kind of a,
it does,
you know, there's a kind of a somber undertone to it.
It's got, in some ways, relationship to your last show, too. In some ways, the memory, memento, and...
I would agree with that.
Then we go around the corner in the gallery, and we have... have I got every object in that room?
There's three more that are hidden in the front room.
Okay, then talk to me a little bit.
Okay, so there's a bronze plaque I made that relates to the work in the back room.
In the back, yes.
So we can talk about that when we talk about the back room.
Okay, yeah.
There's a book I made for the art fair at Printed Matter and Codex called Good Lookin'. And that came from a project that Gary at Container Core invited me to do. So I did a summer SIGS, and I have a friend who, here's the long story short, I have a friend who had a friend who died of AIDS and inherited a trunk of his pornography. And it stayed in her storage unit for over a decade. And she knew that I was making collage work and that I was using pornographic imagery in my work from time to time. So she kept talking about this trunk, and she gave it to me.
Whoa.
So I was going through it. I didn't know what to do with it. So I alphabetized it, you know.
With the documentation.
But I found this
archive.
I found this, you know, in the A section was Advocate Classified. So before the internet, there were these printed magazines men would put ads to meet other men.
Yes.
And so for this Summer SIGS publication, I took these tiny thumbnail photographs of these men, you know, that are practically indiscernible, and I blew them up, and I took these dot patterns from them and made this sort of just, it's, I think it's it's completely abstract. I mean, you don't know what you're looking at. You know that it's an overblown printed texture. You don't know that you're looking at the head of a penis or something. So
yes,
it's subversive, I guess.
Is that that one photograph, the print?
No. So the good-looking, so okay. Those pages ended up as pages in this good-looking book, which okay. was all of this paper that was in my studio all of a sudden when I moved back into the building. So it's, you know, it's these vintage ads, it's, you know, muscle magazines, it's wrestling, it's international mail catalogs, it's carbon paper, it's graph paper, and they sort of tell this sort of story of constructed masculinity. Mm-hmm. But what I realized when I was working with these this imagery is how rare it is to find a tender image of men together. We're used to seeing mm-hmm. super sexualized images of men together, of gay men, you know, undressed in pride, you know, floats, but you don't see these tender images together. So the other piece in the show, Out Cruisin', is a silk screen on marble, and it's this bizarre, tender image of these two men together that I found in a pornographic magazine, wondering sort of, what is this doing here?
All right, so I'm ready to hear from my fellows over there in Pledge Drive.
Thanks very much, Ava. My name is Justin, and we're briefly interrupting because it's our spring membership drive, and we're trying to remind you in Radioland how much your community radio station does for you every hour of every day for now well over 23 million commercial-free minutes. I want to thank Nina in Portland for renewing her membership. We're very grateful, and there's always room for more of you aboard the mighty 90.7. Won't you call us right now, toll-free? It's not going to be painful. It's not going to take a lot of time. You're going to walk taller. It whitens teeth, freshens breath, and melts away pounds. Toll free 877-500-5266.
I'm Dee May here, feeling really great because KBOO does all these wonderful things that Justin just said, and it's great to just be in his presence. So I assure you that if you give us a call at 1-877-500-5266, you're going to have a great time with our phone volunteers who are standing by to take your call right now to support the radio station you care about and also the programming that you care about. This arts coverage happens every single day at KBOO, but it really happens on Tuesdays with Stage and Studio and Art Focus, which you're listening to right now. And if you want to show your support, and I know you do, I know that you just need to take some time to dial that number, 1-877-500-5266. You can show your support and keep this kind of programming going.
I want to thank Timothy in Lake Oswego, who started a new membership. We are so grateful. We love our renewing members, but adding names to the KBOO Good Book is how we expand this cutting-edge, vital community resource. In addition, I want to thank Howard for renewing in Northeast Portland. Heather in Southwest Portland has renewed, and Sherry in Northeast Portland has renewed. Thank you all so very, very much. I mentioned Nina. It's always time to have more of you change from being passive listener to active member, because you're not passive. You were passive in the old days when you listened to the shrieking heads on commercial band, but you eschewed that a long time ago. And that's why we're asking you to decide what it's worth to you, to your friends, to your family, and to your community. Put the price on it. It's not the amount that matters as much as that you stand up and join and become a stakeholder and allow us to count you as member. Toll free 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
And we have tickets, amazing shows, tickets to amazing shows like Portland Center Stage and Milagro or Miracle Theater, and also Portland Story Theater's single-handedly new solo works. They're all available to you right now by calling 1-877-500-5266, which spells out KBOO. And this is your opportunity to show your support for the arts coverage that you love, as well as to take a look at, call our phone volunteers. Ask them, what's available? What kind of shows would I like to see? And take a night on the town. As Justin says, I mean, this is your opportunity to see something that you may not have had a chance to see before. And it's an adventure, I guarantee it. 1-877-500-5266, KBOO.
Imagine imagine as we increase our membership roles, that allows us to increase our service. And of course, we do have these tickets. And in fact, all year long, you have the opportunity to win tickets to art openings, to win tickets to concerts, to do all sorts of things. But the only way we're able to give you those tickets all during the year is because you take a moment out of your busy day and just a few pennies, nickels, and dimes out of your ever-shrinking pocketbook. But don't forget that when giving is hardest, that's when giving is also most critical. That's when people rely most heavily upon the services of social change organizations like ours. Let's be honest, folks. A lot of people are fighting for your money. A lot of right action-oriented organizations. But if you could only choose one organization, what kind of organization would it be? Would it bring you news and public affairs from our cultural ambassadors? Would it be people-powered and democratically organized? Would it be KBOO? Won't you say yes right now and pick up the phone, put a price on it, and be counted. 877-500-5266.
Well, you know, Justin, this is Dee May again. I do see a lot of people supporting Kickstarters a lot. And, you know, $10, $20, $100, there are like $3 million on Kickstarter projects. So we are going towards a goal of $90,000 for the entire year. You know, that is not a lot of money for this membership drive. And how are we going to get it? Well, this is how we have to do it, because we don't have commercials. And this is the way that we have direct response from our listeners, from our community. 1-877-500-5266. We need to hear from you.
They said it couldn't be done, that you can't just give away your content and people put their own price on it and call up and keep it running. Well, folks, it's 45 years later, and we have done it with only 10% of our listeners making that call. It's time now to put yourself on the right side of history. They said it couldn't be done, and they were wrong. They were wrong that real people with real voices making real radio, giving away the product, wouldn't succeed. Well, we're here to tell you that we are succeeding. We'd like to increase our coverage, increase our service, and we do that with your help. You pick up the phone right now from anywhere in North America, toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
Hi, you're listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and I have with me today Philip Bioska. He's got a show, Moment Monument, that's at 1430 Contemporary. Location of that gallery is 1501 Southwest Market. The show is going on still through April 14th. And we've been talking about the exhibition. I really hoped we would cover many things, but that's maybe the exhibition is all that will be today. So, Philip, we were getting to a print, I believe, called Out Cruising. Yes. So, well, let's just backtrack a little bit on that. Is the image, where is that image from? It's not from that porn stash, is it?
It is. It came from a magazine entitled Out Cruisin'. And there's this, I thought, incredibly beautiful, tender image of these two men in the front of a truck, and one man's hand is on the other man's knee. And it was just this sort of this moment of tenderness that didn't fit in this, adult magazine. It wasn't part of the objective of the magazine. And so I reprinted it on marble, silkscreen on marble, in the same scale, same placement on the page as the magazine.
Okay.
And the marble is, you know,
the monument.
Yeah. Taking this ephemeral thing and making it permanent.
Nice. So then we go, now can we go around the corner?
Yeah.
Now, so we go around the corner in the gallery, and Handyman One. One? Is it Handyman One?
Yeah.
And this is an installation of, why don't you describe it for us?
So it's inspired by a Carl Andre floor piece, and it is a James Taylor record entitled JT, and I believe there's about 100 copies of it in a rectangle that fills the back room. And I don't know anything about James Taylor.
Yeah, talk to somebody.
My partner is a musician, and I get dragged to the record store all the time, so to entertain myself always looking for records, I'll, you know, flip through the racks, and I found this totally captivating image of this man who happened to be James Taylor on this album, so incredibly beautiful. And I'm sort of obsessed with this moment. My last show is about this. My book of poems, Ballad of the Sad Young Man, is about this. This sort of moment when, you know, when we're at the peak of our
prettiness,
youth, innocence, before we start to decline. Like, where is that moment between, between growing and dying? And so this image really captured that moment for me. And then this
bizarre, for James Taylor, probably, too.
And for James Taylor, learning about his, you know, when you look at the other subsequent records, you know, he loses his hair and he changes dramatically. You know, I didn't realize
drug addiction as well.
He was a heroin addict at the time. All of these things were going on. But it was also a peak for him. I think it was his best-selling record. And it has this bizarre, not bizarre, this song on the album when I listened to it called Handyman. And it was so interesting to me. So I'm doing this remodel and then there's this song that's about how he can fix broken hearts. So it's equating this construction or studio practice to love and to romance. So those are things that I'm interested in. So I entitled the piece Handyman and I made a another piece, Handyman 2, is a bronze plaque in the front room inspired by some Jenny Holzer bronze plaques. And the words are just comma, 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 come, come, yeah, 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 which is the chorus from Handyman, the sort of nonsense phrase, sort of nothingness.
Well, you know, emotionally, it's weird. The piece pulls at you in a lot of different ways. I mean, I think for one, because, yes, he is so pretty, but then he is so ineffectual. I mean, even the comma, comma, whatever. I mean, at least for my generation, I just hated James Taylor. But even though you just couldn't avoid him. And somehow you've expressed all of that in this piece.
Yeah, there was something about it becomes cinematic to see this image over and over again. And I also am interested in how a mass-produced object, this record was all made at the same time, how these records went out into the world and then are reassembled and have these individual lives. They've been priced and they're all different prices and they have stains and they've become, each one is unique. So I'm interested in that tension. And it was something that I dealt with in the last show with a Marilyn piece I made with a stack of books about Marilyn Monroe. So they're very much companion pieces.
Well, Philip, I have to close right now. Thanks so much for joining
me.
Yes. Moment, Monument. You can see that at 1430 Contemporary. My name is Ava Lake, and I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'm going to have Brian Ferrisco with me, the director of the Portland Art Museum. See you in a couple weeks.
Sueño. Así que una tragedia.